Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, the truth about the great dragon.
Now the Bible calls the devil the great dragon. Not just any old dragon, he is the great dragon. He is some kind of enemy. But you know, when the great dragon met his match was when Jesus, the Lamb of God, came and defeated him at the cross. Because he defeated the dragon, you can get in on his victory and you can overcome the devil. God says, listen, it is time for you to start slaying the great dragon.
There is truth, there is truth, there is love.
It's no accident that God chose the most ferocious beast possible to describe Satan and how he attacks God's children. On our own, of course, we are simply no match for his relentless assaults on our lives. So how can we defeat such a stubborn enemy? Dragon Slayer is the title of our message today on From His Heart as Pastor Jeff Shreve continues his series, Brave Heart, Becoming a Warrior for Christ. Now, this lesson explores the biblical ways you can overcome the lies and deceptions that the devil uses against you. It's a survival guide that will bless your life and those around you as well. The last 6 months of many of our lives have been filled with discouragement and incredible challenges, and they are surely not over. But today, you're going to learn to be a dragon slayer in spite of circumstances. Open your Bible to Revelation chapter 12. Here again is Pastor Jeff.
About a week ago, it was on a Saturday, I was at home and Debbie and I had gone on a walk, and then after the walk I took a shower and I was just kind of lying on the bed and I was flipping around on the channels and I came to the sci-fi channel. You know, the sci-fi channel is kind of a cool channel. You always kind of wonder what's on the sci-fi channel. And I'm a Star Trek fan, an old Star Trek fan. Sometimes I wonder if Captain Kirk will be on there and just watch a little bit of him. But I flipped around and I saw this show. I'd never heard of it before, never seen it before. But I noticed one of the actors. It was Dean Cain. Dean Cain played Superman in the old Superman series. And I like Dean Cain, so I started watching it. And in this show, he was fighting a dragon. And it was a movie, it was called Dragon Fighter, real creative title, Dragon Fighter. And he was fighting this dragon. Somehow the scientists had come, kind of like a Jurassic Park thing, and they made this dragon. And the dragon, he wasn't like Barney. And he wasn't very nice, and he started to kill everybody. He was a real legendary dragon, fierce, ferocious, fire-breathing dragon. And everyone started to die, everyone but Dean Cain. But he died at the box office. So it just wasn't a big hit. And it's not gonna vie Pirates of the Caribbean. You're not gonna see it up at the Emmys, Dragon Fighter. But I thought about that. I thought, wow, could you imagine having to go up against a dragon? It'd be pretty scary. Dean Cain and all the people in the movie were scared of the dragon. Now the Bible calls the devil, the great dragon. When God wants to describe him to us, he tells us he's the great dragon. Not just any old dragon, he is the great dragon. And just like the dragons in literature and the dragons in movies, the devil is fierce, the devil is ferocious, the devil is fire breathing. For the scripture says in Revelation 13, verse 13, he causes fire to come down from heaven upon the earth in the presence of men. He is some kind of enemy. But you know, when the great dragon met his match was when Jesus, the Lamb of God, came and defeated him at the cross. Isn't that just like God? He sends out to face the great dragon a little Lamb, a spotless lamb, and that lamb, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he defeated the dragon. You and I are no match for the dragon in and of ourselves, but he Because he defeated the dragon, you can get in on his victory and you can overcome the devil. You can overcome the great dragon. It's time that God's people started to overcome. So many of God's people are like the folks in the movie I saw with Dean Cain. They're so afraid and they're so fearful and they just know they're going to be wiped out. And if they step out into the corridor of life, if they step out in faith, a dragon is going to get them. So they just keep back in the shadows and they're so afraid and they get so discouraged and they get so despondent. And God says, listen. It is time for you to start slaying the great dragon. It's time for you to enter into my victory. So today, in keeping with our series, Braveheart, Becoming a Warrior for Christ, we're going to talk about how to become a dragon slayer, because that is what the Lord wants for you and for me. Revelation chapter 12, I'll begin reading in verse 7. The Bible says this, "And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels waged war. And they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon," who was that? "Was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night." And here's our verse. "And they overcame him." They overcame the devil. They overcame the dragon because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even to death. How can you overcome the great dragon in your life? How can I in my life? Three essentials for victory. Essential number one is Calvary. You overcome the dragon by Calvary and through Calvary. Now, Calvary is the hill where Jesus died. It's called in Aramaic Golgotha. The word Golgotha means place of a skull, and where Jesus was crucified right outside of Jerusalem, that hill, that rocky hill, looks like a skull. And we call it Calvary because the Latin for skull is Calvaria, from whence we get Calvary. But it was at Calvary, at that hill, that Jesus stretched out his hands and he suffered and he bled and died on a cruel Roman cross between two thieves. He shed his blood at Calvary, and Calvary is what pays for your sins, the blood that was shed at Calvary. See, it is the blood of Christ that makes you clean. The blood of Christ that makes you clean, clean from your sins. Look what John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. "But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, God's son, cleanses us from all sin." It's the blood that makes clean. We sing that song, "What can wash away my sins?" Nothing but the blood of Jesus. "What can make me whole again?" Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oftentimes when I have a child come into my office with his parents and he has been thinking and praying and wrestling with salvation, and the parent is not entirely sure if the child knows for certain what that means to trust Christ, I try and make it very plain to the child. And so I'll put it in terms that I think a child, a 6, 7, 8 year old can understand. And I'll say, "Now listen, we talk about sin. You know, that's a big thing to understand, the concept of sin. And for little kids, that's the thing you need to be concerned about. Do they understand what sin is?" See, because until you understand what sin is, that sin separates you from God, you can't really get saved, because you don't really understand what separation means. You don't understand, hey, this sin problem, what does that mean? See, when you understand you're a sinner and you need a savior because you're a sinner and you can't get to heaven any other way because you are filthy inside, then you begin to look up. Then you begin to say, "Oh God," then you begin to say with Isaiah, "Woe is me, for I'm undone." But until you see you're a sinner, you can never call upon the Lord. And so I talk to them about sin. And one of the things I say is, "Now listen, Junior," I said, "do you ever remember when you'd go outside and play? Maybe you played in the mud Have you ever played in the mud? And you know, kids just love mud. I don't know what it is about mud, but they just love it. They say, yeah, I remember that. I said, do you remember you'd get all muddy and you'd get all dirty and you'd come in and your mother would say to you, now, before you eat dinner, you gotta go wash up, wash your hands. And so the kid says, yeah, I can remember that. I go wash my hands, wash with soap and water, and then I'm all clean, and then I can sit down and eat. I said, right. I said, sin is getting dirty on the inside. Sin is getting dirty on your heart and in your heart. And I said, there's nothing that can wash that away. There's no amount of soap or water that can wash that away. See, Pilate tried that. Pilate, who had the Lord Jesus on his hands, Pilate, who knew Jesus was innocent, he saw that a riot was getting ready to happen if he released Jesus, and so he took a basin of water, and before the people, he took that water and he poured it over his hands, and he said, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See ye to that? But oceans of water couldn't have removed the sin and the guilt that was stained on his heart. You can't remove sin with water. You can't remove sin with soap. You can't remove sin with good works. You can't remove sin with church attendance. You can't remove sin by giving your money. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it's the blood that goes into the heart that washes white as snow. God just does something supernaturally. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed for you on the cross, you quit trusting in yourself and you just trust in him and him alone, then God applies the blood to you and the blood makes clean. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The Bible has much to say about the blood. In Romans chapter 5 verse 9, it says that the blood justifies us. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says that the blood of Christ redeems us, buys us back. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, it says the blood of Christ is our peace. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12, it says that the blood of Christ sanctifies us and sets us apart. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, it says that the blood of Christ has released us from our sins. Oh, there is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. But not only does the blood cleanse us, the blood gives us confidence to stand. Confidence to stand. Now, did you notice in the verses that we read that the devil is referred to in verse 10 as the accuser? The accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. That's what the devil does. The word devil, diabolos in the Greek, literally means slanderous one. It means false accuser. And so the devil will come at you and he'll come at me and he accuses us before God, and he will start to point out all your sins and all your failings and all your disobedience. He just keeps accusing and accusing and accusing. That's how he works. And see, the blood of Jesus is so important because you battle the accuser with the blood of Jesus. The devil is the king of guilt and shame and condemnation. And so many people are living today under a heavy coat and a heavy pack of guilt and shame and condemnation over sins that they've committed maybe a week ago or maybe a year ago or maybe 10 years ago or maybe 25 years ago. And there's such shame upon them. Why? Because they had an abortion. Why? Because they committed an act of sexual immorality that was so horrible and so heinous. Why? Because they cheated on a business deal and they ruined a friend through that business deal. They bankrupt their friend. And there's such tremendous shame. And the devil will just move in, the accuser of the brethren, day and night. And he will just beat you to death. And it's so important to understand that the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Now, one of the things that I learned early in my Christian life that helped me so much, and I had a friend of mine years and years ago, I'll never forget it, he told me, he said, Jeff, you taught in Sunday school one day about the difference between Holy Spirit conviction and satanic accusation. He said, that helped me so much. Do you know the difference between the two? You'll never overcome, you'll never slay the dragon unless you know the difference between the two. See, because I am convinced that the devil comes at every single one of us to try and condemn and try and get you guilt-ridden and full of shame. And he comes with accusation. Now, what's the difference between Holy Spirit conviction and satanic accusation? Well, Satan will come and accuse you over confessed sin. You've confessed that sin. You confessed that abortion you had 10 years ago. He still comes at you and says, look what you did. Look what you did. Look what you did. It's confessed. So what do? You confess it again and you confess it again and you confess it again. You confess it a million times, but he's still coming at you. He comes at you over confessed sin. The Holy Spirit of God doesn't convict over confessed sin. He convicts you of unconfessed sin. He points his finger and says, listen, you lusted and you haven't gotten that right. Listen, you lied and you haven't gotten that right. You haven't confessed that to God. You haven't put that sin under the blood. You are harboring a bitter heart and you haven't gotten it right. And the Holy Spirit of God will convict. He points his finger and says, deal with this. So it's unconfessed sin that he talks to you about. But not only does the Holy Spirit of God work with unconfessed sin, the Holy Spirit of God, and the difference between satanic accusation and Holy Spirit conviction, the Holy Spirit always convicts in order to draw you to the Father, to get you right, to speak to you in your prodigal son state, to say, what are you doing, to help you come to your senses so that you go back to the Father who loves you. It's always a conviction to draw you back to God. The devil, the accuser, he condemns. And he's always trying to drive a wedge between you and the Father who loves you. And he's always saying, you're bad. You're rotten to the core. Don't go back to church. You can't come back to God. God is through with you. God has erased your name out of his book. He is done. And he tries to drive that wedge. And he tries to tell you there's no hope for you. You have sinned too greatly. You have messed up too big this time. There is no hope for you. He is a liar and the father of lies. What does God say in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18? Come now, the Lord says, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And the Holy Spirit convicts in order to draw you to the Father who will forgive you. And if you're living today in guilt and in shame and in condemnation, the Lord's hands are stretched out wide to you. And he says, my child, just come to me and confess your sins to me. And the blood of Jesus, God's son, will cleanse you from all sin. Scripture says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not a speck of condemnation. When you're in Christ Jesus. Little girl was in Sunday school, third grade Sunday school. The teacher asked the third grade class, is there anything God cannot do? Little girl raised her hand. She said, teacher, I know one thing God can't do. God cannot see my sins when they're covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's so true. The blood washes and cleanses. You overcome the devil through Calvary. I love the song that says Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and shame, all my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. You overcome him through Calvary.
The devil is lying when he says there's no hope. Now, the hard truth is this. Our sins are unacceptable to God. But what good news we have in what Jesus did for us on the cross, for those who trust him alone by faith for salvation. In a moment on From His Heart, Pastor Jeff Shreve returns to explore the second way you can overcome the devil and be a victorious dragon slayer. You know, a lot of Christians have never really used the power that is theirs through Christ and are constantly fighting the devil in their own power and losing. So often that happens, and it leads to feelings of discouragement and inadequacy. But you and I were not called to be wallflowers, timid Christians. We are to fight with faith as good soldiers. That's why Pastor Jeff has prepared two special resources to help us all in these days when the forces of evil are gaining notoriety, followers, and providing strong headwinds against God's children. For your gift of any amount to help From His Heart, we'd like to send you the timely booklet, The Lord's Army, from Pastor Jeff, along with his five-message series, We Are Soldiers. Both of these will help you fight those spiritual battles and emerge victorious. Again, these are our gifts to say thank you for your donation this month of any amount. It's only through the support of our faithful listeners that we're able to be here every day. So we depend upon you, and we trust that God will move your heart if this program is a consistent blessing to you. Just call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, to make your gift and request We Are Soldiers and the booklet The Lord's Army. Now, let's get back to The Dragon Slayer. Here again is Pastor Jeff.
Essential number two, not only Calvary, but confession. You overcome the devil through confession. And they overcame him. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. That word testimony is also translated witness. It's the Greek word where we get our English word martyr from. It's the same word used in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 where Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses, you shall be my martyrs," because of the word of their witness, the word of their testimony. John said in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 2 that he bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus. Bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus. That's important. Now, why is that so important, the word bearing witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus? Well, because the scripture says in verse 9 that the devil, the dragon, the serpent of old, that Satan deceives the whole world. He's a deceiver. That word deceive means to cause to wander, to mislead, to lead astray. And the devil is constantly working. Let's say this is on track. If I'm behind this pulpit represents the word of God. And if I'm behind this pulpit, I'm in the word of God. I'm in the will of God. I'm doing what God wants me to do. And the devil is all the time trying to pull me away. He says, "Jeff, why don't we just move over here just a little bit? Just inch over here. Just inch over here. Next day, just inch over here. Just inch over here." And you just go little by little by little. You begin to wander. He leads astray. He's a deceiver. He's a liar and the father of lies. And he's the best liar. And the best liar tells lies that sound most like the truth. And that's how the devil works in your life and in my life. How can you slay the dragon? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You overcome lies with the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 17, praying his great high priestly prayer, he said to his Father, "Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth." You and I need to confess the truth to ourselves, to constantly be speaking the truth to ourselves of who we are in Jesus Christ, of the plan that God has for us as followers of Jesus Christ. You bear witness to the word of God in your own life.
The testimony you have of your changed life, even after your past dark sin that is now eternally forgiven by the blood of the Savior, is truly one of our greatest strengths against the devil's attacks. Today you heard part one of the message called The Dragon Slayer from Pastor Jeff. He'll have part two tomorrow. But this message is also just one of nine in a remarkable series called Braveheart, Becoming a Warrior for Christ. It's available in multiple formats, CD, DVD, MP3 download, or on a USB when you go online to fromhisheart.org or simply call 866-40-BIBLE. 866-40-BIBLE, request the series Braveheart. Well, time is gone now, but we trust you'll be able to join us tomorrow for the conclusion to this message and more ways to be a dragon slayer living victoriously in the face of Satan's deceptions. That's on Friday, when we will again hear God's word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out about that when you go to fromhisheart.org. www.ourpastor.org.